Good morning, this is Reed Collins with the CBS World News Roundup. If D is for delegate, today is D-Day in the United States. Big primaries in California and New Jersey, as well as in West Virginia, South Dakota, and New Mexico. The last hurrah before the convention in San Francisco.
This is Susan Spencer with the Mondale campaign. At the end of the last big campaign day, a 26-hour bi-coastal marathon, Walter Mondale made an impassioned plea to the people of California.
The decision is yours. The power is in your hands. Normally, the decision is over by the time you get to California. But not this time. It's in your hands. You're the boss. Give me your help tomorrow, and we'll go on and do our job. Thank you very much.
The campaign had said that if Mondale had 1,750 delegates by yesterday, he would be able to get the rest he needed in the voting today. By Mondale's count, he exceeded his goal, and he stuck by his prediction that today will cinch it. Unspoken is his need to win either California or New Jersey to impress upon Democrats that the man with the delegates is also the man they want. Susan Spencer, CBS News, San Francisco.
This is Eric Engberg with the Hart Campaign. Gary Hart needs victories in both California and New Jersey to keep alive the late-season primary surge that has denied Walter Mondale the right to claim the Democratic nomination. Hart will devote the early part of the day to New Jersey, then race westward to campaign in California before calling it a day. He'll await the returns in Los Angeles tonight. While Democratic elders are saying he must win big today to keep his challenge alive, Hart maintains that he plans to take the nomination fight all the way to the convention floor, no matter what happens today. Eric Engberg, CBS News, Paramus, New Jersey.
This is Jacqueline Adams with the Jackson campaign in San Francisco. Jesse Jackson now has a paid media campaign.
There is an alternative. Vote for Jesse Jackson. Come alive June 5. Vote for Jesse Jackson.
Thanks to the last-minute contributions of a group of supporters, Jackson was able to buy roughly $150,000 worth of TV and radio time in both California and New Jersey. Even with the ads, though, Jackson has little chance of winning any of today's primaries. But he wants to win as many delegates and as much leverage as possible. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, San Francisco.
America's early warning radar planes evidently have done their job in the Persian Gulf. Saudi Arabian fighters, alerted to an intruding plane by the American AWACS system, today shot down the plane, said to be Iranian. Fate of the pilot isn't known. An accusation by Iran, meanwhile, could be the precursor to a long-awaited offensive. Steve Croft reports from London.
Radio Tehran has announced a major Iraqi air attack on the city of Banay in western Kurdistan this morning. The report claimed 300 Iranians were killed in the assault. There's been no official confirmation of the casualties. The Iranian broadcast seemed to mesh with reports out of Baghdad that Iraqi fighter planes were seen traveling east towards the Iranian front earlier today. This is the 21st anniversary of an Iranian uprising against the Shah, and there had been speculation that the occasion would be used to announce the beginning of the long-awaited human wave offensive against Iraq. There's been no official announcement out of Tehran. Steve Croft, CBS News, London.
It's a social and political day in London today for President Reagan. Deborah Potter reports.
The president is mixing ceremony with substance today. After a private lunch with the Queen, described as more or less a social call, Mr. Reagan moves on to his first working session with Prime Minister Thatcher. U.S. officials say there's no strict agenda, but the two leaders will discuss the prospects for the economic summit, which begins on Thursday, and the situation in the Persian Gulf. White House officials say they have no indication that the threatened Iranian offensive has begun. And while they've been talking with the allies about what to do in case there's a cutoff of oil supplies, they're not seeking an agreement here on a specific plan of action. A senior administration official says the United States will urge Mrs. Thatcher not to press for a public statement on terrorism at the summit. According to a senior administration official, that could inspire the very thing they're trying to deter. In his words, an I'll show you attitude. Deborah Potter, CBS News, London.
It is D-Day minus one plus 40 years in Normandy this morning, the eve before the Great Crusade. John Blackstone reports.
40 years ago, Normandy could not welcome its liberators with brass bands, civic receptions, and lavish parties. 40 years ago, the soldiers could seldom stop just to enjoy themselves. All those things that could not be done in wartime are being done exuberantly during this anniversary week. Every village along the coast is dressed up with flags and flowers. Every town has its favorite group of veterans, the men who were its liberators. They are welcomed back by cheering, flag-waving crowds. Even though most villages are too young to remember D-Day, Normandy does not forget its heroes. Each village has its memorial to those who died in the battle. Up and down the coast, villagers and veterans lay wreaths in memory of the fallen. 40 years later, even the enemy can be honored. In the German cemetery near the D-Day beaches, men of the 90th Infantry Division saluted as the grandson of an American veteran played the German national anthem. Then, veterans from both sides of the D-Day fighting shook hands. 40 years later, Normandy wants to be remembered not as a battleground, but as a place that brought peace. John Blackstone, CBS News, Normandy.
This is David Andelman in Moscow. No Soviet troops went ashore with the other Allies 40 years ago on the beaches of Normandy. They were, according to the Soviet version, busy elsewhere winning the war. On the Eastern Front, where, historians here point out, 20 million died beating back Hitler. By the time the Allies landed in France, say the Soviets, Hitler was already defeated. Still, there will be Soviet representatives at Wednesday's ceremonies marking the Normandy landing, led by two Soviet generals. The Russians were Allies, after all. There'll be Polish and Czech delegations, too. Their countries had soldiers who landed on the beaches alongside the Americans, British, French, and Canadians. But the Russians are coming with a bitter message. The D-Day came 2 years too late. A conscious delay by an American government at the time, hoping that the Nazi offensive on the Eastern Front would bleed the Soviet Union white. It's a curious message the Soviet government has been hammering for weeks now, a mixture of petulance and insecurity. Remember, we won that war, say the Russians, and we have the same will to win the next one. David Andelman, CBS News, Moscow.
The Prime Minister of Egypt has died of a heart attack. The Middle East News Agency says Fuad Mohiuddin, 58, collapsed and died in his office in Cairo. Last night, an Israeli consular official was shot from ambush outside his home in a Cairo suburb. The man was not seriously hurt. His attackers got away. Gold was fixed at $394 an ounce in London this morning, ahead about a dollar from yesterday. Again today, the U.S. dollar is losing ground against the rest of the world's money. It's now 10 after the hour.